know how long I've waited for this moment.
Yes.
I don't have to wait anymore.
Why not?
Because it's here.
Now, if you'll just settle back on the couch.
Tonight's special guest, a London surgeon and Berlin's Eric Cloutier. We are tuned into CKUW 95.9 FM CKUW.ca.
You will now listen to my voice. My voice will help you and guide you still deeper into Europa. Every time you hear my voice, with every word and every number, you will enter a still deeper layer, open, relaxed, and receptive. I shall now count from 1 to 10. On the count of 10, you will be in Europa. I say 1. And as you focus your attention entirely on my voice, you will slowly begin to relax. 2. Your hands and your fingers are getting warmer and heavier. 3. The warmth is spreading through your arms, to your shoulders and your neck. 4. Your feet and your legs get heavier. 5. The warmth is spreading to the whole of your body. On 6, I want you to go deeper. I say 6. And the whole of your relaxed body is slowly beginning to sink. 7. You go deeper and deeper and deeper. 8. On every breath you take, you go deeper. 9. You are floating. On the mental count of 10, you will be in Europa. Be there at 10. I say 10.
Thank you.
followed and pursued by something.
And I could feel that there was somebody behind.
I was running and I was being chased.
I'm running down the street, into a house, through the house.
Down the stairs.
Out the back.
And I was being chased.
Faster and faster.
And I ran for all I was worth.
My clothes were dragging me back.
I was running away.
I was running.
And I ran.
So I run along the corridor and I run up the stairs. I keep running up these stairs and round the corner. I sometimes run down the stairs into the corridor and I keep running and running and running.
My legs wouldn't go quick enough. I couldn't get my breath to call out.
I was running away. I was running very, very fast. Somehow I couldn't stop running.
I was running and I fell over the mountain.
There was a crocodile chasing me.
I was running.
There was a crocodile chasing me. I swam as fast as I could to get away from the crocodile. The crocodile suddenly changed into a lion and then that changed into a tiger.
The animals really, I suppose, don't mean to chase me. But because I'm frightened and I run, they follow me up.
So I run along the corridor and I run up the stairs.
And some great monstrous shape walks towards me in the corridor.
And I run up the stairs.
My legs wouldn't go quick enough.
And I keep running and running and running. Running and running and running.
Up the big slope. And my legs wouldn't go quick enough.
I was running and I was being chased.
There was somebody after me, chasing me. Up a big slope. Up a big slope.
And I keep running and running and running. Running and running and running.
I couldn't get my breath to call out.
So I run along the corridor and I run up the stairs.
And some great monstrous shape walks towards me in the corridor.
I'm running down the street, into a house, through the house, out the back, over there, somebody. I never see anybody. I know there's somebody behind me, probably, but I never see them.
It's neither a man or a woman. It's just an enormous black shape. It's just a mass of something, matter, coming towards me. A great, big, monstrous-looking mass, not a shape. Just filling up the corridor. But it's neither a man or a woman. It's just an enormous black shape in the corridor, filling up the corridor.
It's a crocodile chasing me.
I was running away.
As I ran faster, I seemed to battle against it even more. My clothes were dragging me back. My clothes were dragging me back.
I was running very, very fast. Somehow I couldn't stop running. I was running away.
My legs wouldn't go quick enough.
And I run up the stairs. The stairs are wide and stone. They're nasty stairs. An institution. I keep running up these stairs and round the corner. I can't go right to the top. I just hide around the second corner. Down the stairs into the corridor. And all the time there's a terrible fear that I'm only in my white liberty bodice. Only in my liberty bodice.
I'm being followed and pursued by something. I'm never quite sure what it is. This feeling of running down a staircase. I still see the staircase, a very wide staircase in an old house. Big carved banisters. They go down in short flights. At the end of each flight, there's a large stained glass window, and I run down the stairs faster and faster, and something which is following gets nearer and nearer, and I don't know what it is. I have the feeling that it's something which is about to envelop me in some way. It's just this feeling of being followed. I'm running down a corridor. I'm being followed and pursued by something.
I could feel that there was something behind, and I was being chased. And I ran for all I was worth till I got to the edge of the cliff. And just as I was getting to the edge of the cliff, I couldn't remember anymore.
I can see this corridor stretching into the distance. The perspective of it just fading into absolute nothingness.
I couldn't remember anymore.
I was running very, very fast. Somehow I couldn't stop running. I came to the edge of a great big cliff.
And just as I was getting to the edge of the cliff,
I couldn't get my breath to call out. I went up, right up to the top, over the other side, and hung on to the cliff.
I could feel that there was something behind.
It was some form of beast. It was some form of great ape, and it was loping along. It was making a noise, an uncanny noise. And my clothes were dragging me back, as if I'd been in the water. And my clothes were heavy, and they were becoming heavier, and they were being held by the streams of wind. As I ran faster, I seemed to battle against it even more, and it seemed more difficult to stay on this edge. It was very dark all the way round, and it was a very sharp edge. I knew that if I watched and kept breathing properly, I could keep on the top of this ridge.
Then I sort of felt myself falling over the cliff.
I was falling.
Falling over the cliff.
Over a cliff.
London Surgeon on Phase 1 Radio. This is CKUW 95.9 FM, CKUW.ca.
conscious. I recall a recurrent sensation of cuddling some creature against my chest. It is quite small, about the size of a cat. It's not a human baby, and it is not an animal, not exactly. It is part human and part something else. I can recall an occasion in the house at Price Road. I must be 12 or 13. I wonder what it is. A squirrel? Not quite. I can't see it clearly. I don't know what it needs. I do know that it trusts me completely. Much later, I was to learn that I am cast in the role of the guardian, to create and nurture a creature that is part cat, part human, and part something as yet unimaginable, which might result in a union that has not taken place for millions of years. Another vision at about the same age. I'm awake at dawn in the attic room and see little gray men playing in my blockhouse. They move very fast, like a 1920 speed-up film. Whisk. They're gone. Just the empty blockhouse and gray dawn. I'm motionless in the sequence, a silent witness. The magical medium is being bulldozed away. No more green reindeer. Part. Angels are leaving all the alcoves everywhere. The medium in which unicorns, Bigfoot, green deer exist, growing all these thinner like the rainforests and creatures that live and breathe in them. And the forests fall to make way for hotels and Hiltons and McDonald's. The whole magic universe is dying. Cats are minimally fed on skimmed milk and table scraps. Otherwise, they don't hunt. Of course, it often happens that a barn cat becomes a house cat. And that is what every barn cat, every street cat wants. I find this desperate attempt to win a human protector deeply rooted. 15 years ago, I dreamt I caught a white cat on a hook and line. For some reason, I was about to reject the creature and throw it back, but it rubbed against me, mewling piteously. As I adopted Brewski, the cat dreams are vivid and frequent. Often, I dream that Brewski has jumped onto my bed, of course. Sometimes happens, and Fletch is a constant visitor, jumping up on the bed and cuddling against me, purring so loud I can't sleep. Last night, I encountered a green cat with a very long neck and a body like a human fetus, gray and translucent. I am cuddling it. I don't know what it needs or how to provide for it. Another dream years ago, a human child with eyes on stalks. It is very small, but can walk and talk. Don't you want me? Again, I don't know how to care for the child, but I am dedicated to protecting and nurturing him at any cost. It is the function of the guardian to protect hybrids and mutants in the vulnerable stage of infancy. Land of the dead. A reek of boiling sewage, cold gas and burning plastics, oil patches, roller coasters and ferris wheels overrun with rank ruins. up with tears streaming down my face. Evidence indicates that cats were first tamed in Egypt. The Egyptians stored grain which attracted rodents, which attracted cats. No evidence that such a thing happened with the lions, though a number of wild cats are known to the area. So I don't think this is accurate, but it's certainly not the whole story. Cats don't start as mouses. Weasels, snakes, and dogs are more efficient at rodent control agents. I postulate that the cats started as psychic companions. Sentence. It is still their chief function in farm and village to give notice of approach. As hunters and guards, and that is why they hate cats. Look at the services we provide, and all cats do is loll around and prowl. Ratters, are they? Take a cat half an hour to kill a mouse. All cats do is purr and 88th the master's affections from my honest shit-eating face. Worst thing is, they got no sense of right and wrong. The cat does not offer services. The cat offers itself. Of course he wants care and shelter. You don't buy love for nothing. Like all pure creatures, cats are practical. To understand an ancient question, bring it into present time. My meeting with Ruski and my conversion to a cat man reenacts the relation between the first house cats and their human protectors. And there are my cats engaged in a ritual that goes back thousands of years, tranquilly licking themselves after the meal. Practical animals, they prefer to have others provide the food. Some of them do. There must have been a split between the cats who accepted domestication and those who did not. Back to present time with a weary sigh. There will be fewer and fewer exotic, beautiful animals. The Mexican hairless cat is already extinct. The tiny 3-pound wildcats that can be easily tamed are always rarer, further away. Plaintive lost spirits waiting for the human hand that will never come. Fragile and sad as a boat of dead leaves launched in a park pond by a child. Are the phosphorescent bats that emerge once every 7 years to fill the air with impossible riots of perfume? Melodious distant calls for the bat cats and gliding lemurs. The rainforests of Borneo and South America are going to make way for what?
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, CKUW.ca.